2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll read 6 verses on this victory night. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at verse number 1. We'll read these 6 verses. We'll pray and we'll let you be seated. It says, "Now I, Paul," verse 1, "myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who am present and base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as we have walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening, this short time that we're going to have. I pray you help us to focus in. Lord, we're going to speak in a few minutes. The staff is going to speak about some of the blessings that you'd allowed our church to partake in. But Father, we need your word so that we can experience personal blessing in our life. And so I pray that you would just help us to be tuned in this evening to what you have for us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In these verses, Paul is mentioning something we should be very cognizant of in our life, that we are in a spiritual battle. If living the Christian life was easy, everybody would be good at it, but they're not. When we got saved, the moment you got saved, you got forgiveness of sin. You know, you were made a saint in God's eyes, positionally in Christ. You're perfect. Heaven's your home. You got all the good stuff. But on the flip side, you immediately got yourself an enemy, Satan. There's many other things that fight against us. But God does want us to have a transformed life of victory. 2 Corinthians tells us, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." The fact that we are in Christ, we should be different. We ought to be able to live in victory. That doesn't mean that sometimes we don't experience temporary setbacks or maybe we give up a step, but it does mean the direction of our life, we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we experience that. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27 says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Man, if you're saved and Jesus Christ dwells inside of you, you have a hope of glory. God wants us to win this battle. But most Christians struggle with the battle, and the fact of it is, most Christians are losing the battle. But the fact that we struggle doesn't mean that we should not continue to push forward to become that all that God wants us to be. On this victory night, I want to look at these verses. I have only a couple pages of notes, about half of what I normally have, because we're going to be about half what we usually are here. But I want you to get this. There's some things in these verses he mentions to us that we need to understand if we are going to win and be victorious in our life. Let me mention them. I believe there are 4. Number 1, remember, as I mentioned, it is a spiritual battle that we are fighting. Verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh," in other words, we still, when we're saved, we have the Spirit of God, we have Christ in us, we have the Holy Spirit, we have all those things, but we need to understand we still live in this body of flesh, which means it's still a struggle for us. And even though we have to still live this life in our flesh, he says, but we do not war after the flesh. Now again, we understand that our flesh, there's a struggle there with just dwelling in our flesh, but it's a spiritual battle. Our war is not with the flesh. Our war is a spiritual war. Satan uses the flesh. Satan uses the world. He uses his powers, everything that he has at his disposal to fight us. It is a battle that is fought on a spiritual plane. We are tempted sometimes, many times I am tempted as I see what is going around, what's going on around us in our society, and I see that things are getting worse and worse and worse. You have a tendency to want to get mad at people. You want to get mad at what's going on, but that is not the issue. The issue is we are in a spiritual war. Our country is in a mess, but can I just tell you something? And I hate to say this. It pains me to say it. It's not President Obama's fault. It doesn't even sound right to say that. But he has a lot to do with it. Listen, it's a spiritual. It is no coincidence our country was founded on Christian principles. And all the forces of hell have been fighting that. Now, they'll use certain individuals, but the problem is not President Obama. The fact of the matter is, if you want us to be really honest, why our country is in such a really bad shape, it's because of the Christians. Now, I don't think if every Christian that said they were saved, honestly was saved, and actually got up tomorrow and started living their life, voting, and making decisions based on what a Christian ought to make, this country would flip-flop in a second. But we're not. But the battle is a spiritual one. If we're going to fight a spiritual battle, we need the proper weapons. I'll flip over to Ephesians. I just want you to see these verses. Keep your finger. We'll come back to 2 Corinthians. Ephesians chapter 6. If we're going to fight the spiritual war, we've got to use the spiritual weapons. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. A couple books to your right. By the way, I like when people bring their Bibles to church. Say, man, I'm new. If you're new, you ought to just get in the habit of having a Bible with you. Just getting familiar with the verses. You say, for some of us, we've read these verses over and over in our life. But some of you that are new, it's nice to have a Bible and kind of just, hey, here it is, and learning the verses. I think that will help you. Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's how we're going to win the battle. But how do we do that? Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You see, the devil's after us, but as long as we have the proper armor on, we can defeat him. We can take him down. We can withstand what he is throwing at us. It's when we are not prepared that we fall into some of the areas we're going to talk in, particularly one area we're going to talk about tonight. Verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, the same thing Paul was saying in Corinthians, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I mean, we put on the armor and we take the bullets because we can withstand it, but if we can't withstand it, just stand because it's the right thing to do. But we need that spiritual. It's a spiritual battle. So remember, number one, that it is a spiritual battle we are fighting. Number two, the battlefront, really the biggest battlefront, I would say, that the battle is being fought is the mind. Look at verse 4. Go back to 2 Corinthians again, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He's talking about the weapons we use to get the victory, pull down the strongholds of the enemy, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every what? Thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, notice the war words he used in here. The word casting is like when they would cast down a wall in the days when they had their wars. One of the best defenses you could have is a good wall around your city. They didn't have the artillery and the means of destruction we have today. And so they had a strong wall. An army that came in would have to had to really put a lot of time into getting that wall down. Now, some armies would take the occasion to do that, but they would come and they'd cast those walls down, get it down so they can get in there and get to their enemy. So he's talking about casting. He mentions high thing, elevated, like an opposing ruler. And then captivity, that's a war word, like a prisoner being subdued and being taken into captivity. Now, what is the battlefield that he mentions with all those words? Our thoughts, our imaginations, our mind. That is where the battle is being fought. This morning we talked about winning over worry. One of the points in there was be careful what's in our mind, because the thing we worry because of all the stuff that we put in our mind. And in Philippians chapter 4, he tells us the things we're supposed to think about. Why? Because the things we put into our mind are the things that we dwell on, and the things that are in our mind that we dwell on lead to a course of action in our life. And so if these false thoughts are in our mind, we're letting garbage in our mind, anti-Christian thought, anti-Christian truth, and it's taking up residence in our mind, we cannot affect how we live. It will affect our lifestyle. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, very well-known verses, says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. We come and we give ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm a living sacrifice. I'm giving my life to you. I'm going to serve you. And he says that's reasonable service. It makes sense. It adds up. And be not conformed to this world. The word conformed means to be pressed into a mold. It's funny how the world wants to be rebels and everybody's going to be different. So what do? We go out and look just like everybody else. Okay, the Bible's been true forever and it'll be true forever. Okay, somebody's going to think, you know, I think pink hair with yellow streaks is cool, and I'm going to be a rebel, and 100,000 people are going to do it the next day. Okay, everybody wants to be, look, you're different just like everybody else. We all just want to be the same. Why? The world kind of puts you into a mold. And by the way, it starts with a way of thinking. And be not conformed, put into the mold of this world, but be ye transformed. Transformed is the word metamorphosis. We get the word metamorphosis. That's a caterpillar. A caterpillar builds a cocoon, and then wham, it's transformed into a beautiful butterfly that lands into a spider web and gets eaten. Amen? But inside of that caterpillar was everything it needed to become a butterfly. And when it's transformed, it's metamorphosized or changed into that butterfly that was inside of it all the time. That's what happens to us. We can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We put the good stuff in, and our mind is changed, and it comes out in our actions. That's why it's very important that we're careful what we allow into our mind. You say, I'm struggling with things, and I want to be a better Christian. What should I do? You need to get more of God's thoughts into your mind. See, you're losing the battle up here. You say, no, I can filter through all of that stuff. I can get through it, you know. No, you can't. You cannot control the actions that come as a result of what you put into your mind. You can only control what you put in your mind in the first place. If you put bad stuff into your mind, you can do everything you want. Bad actions are eventually going to come out. It's just how it is. But you can control what you put in your mind in the first place. We always look at it from a negative, and we should. Be careful what you're allowing into your mind, your thought processes. Let's look at it on the positive, though. Let's load up with the right kind of stuff. If we're in a spiritual battle and the battle's for the mind, let's put the right stuff in. It's hard to do the right thing when everything around you, everything you're allowing to influence you, is pushing you towards the wrong thing. The battle is in the mind. We make a lot of bad decisions because we have a flawed way of thinking. I don't know how many times I'll talk to somebody and say, you know, we had this situation and we did this, and they'll give the reasoning. We did it for this reason. I'm thinking, that line of reasoning is not scriptural. Somebody told them something that was a lie and they bought it and they're living their life. Well, you know, I know one person this worked for. Well, I know 100,000 it didn't work for. That's why most of the people, you know, most people's pastor in this country is whoever they're listening to on the radio. You know, we're watching Oprah Winfrey. By the way, she's probably one of the biggest pastors in this country. It used to be she had shows on and they interview people. Now she's trying to tell you how to live your life. She's overstepped her bounds. Well, you know, Dr. Phil knows this, that, and the other. Fooey on Dr. Phil. Now, he may occasionally, and I don't listen to the guy. I think he lost his hair, so that's a good thing. But I don't listen to the guy. And he may occasionally say something that lines up with Scripture, but I guarantee you 99% of what he says doesn't line up with Scripture. And they're going to give you a reason why it works. Tom, how do you feel? I don't care how Tom feels. What does God say? The mind. By the way, the songs you listen to. You know, I know. We just listen for the music. It's not the words. Then why is it whenever we have kids in our youth group that start messing up and, you know, they get in bad relationships, they're always quoting words from songs? Have you ever noticed that? You ever notice that? We get on there, so let me see your phone. We start looking at the text. By the way, they shouldn't probably have a phone in the first place. That was free. And you start reading this little thing. It's like, where'd they get that from? It's some stupid song they're listening to. Like, don't give me that. That stuff teaches. And it gets in our what? Mind. And it gets a beachhead there, and it starts us to think a way that is contrary to what God says. And once that gets its foot in the door, we're done. So the battle is right here. Right here. The battlefront is the mind. We're halfway through. The enemy, number three, the enemy's goal is to feed us by getting a stronghold. What is a stronghold? A stronghold is a fortified position in the enemy's territory. If you know anything about war, one of the turning points of World War II is when we finally got a stronghold in France on D-Day. And by the way, it was a brutal battle, and thousands upon thousands of men were killed. And they knew it was going to happen that way. But it was important for us to get a stronghold in enemy territory. Because once you get a stronghold and you're there and you can set up camp, now you can start conquering other areas. And what happens is these false ways of thinking fight their way into our mind. Follow your heart. Man, don't do that. You know, what are your feelings telling you? Listen to what your feelings are telling you and do the opposite. All the time. How do you feel about that? Don't ask me that, because sometimes I feel like I wish I didn't have any children. Do you love your family? I love them all the time, but there are days I wish they didn't live with us. That's my feelings, okay? That's the coffee not kicking in. I saw a coffee cup, and it had like three lines on it. The top line is, uh-uh. The second line is, almost. And the bottom line is, now you can talk. Okay? That's how life is sometimes. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Man, you love the kids, but you'd like to lock them in the closet, okay? That's our feel. Look, don't follow your feelings. Sometimes your feelings are telling you you're having a bad day and you need to step back and just say, hey, cowboy, back off. I'm not following my feelings. I'm going to do the right thing. But we get a beachhead. The enemy gets in there on us. He gets a stronghold, and now we start making bad decisions. And once you start making bad decisions, then you allow other things in your mind. Very important. Well, you know, that's just what I think. God bless you. What does God say? Well, you know, my opinion about the situation is, okay, what does God say? Well, here's how I feel. What did God say? Look, what talk shows are you listening to? You can't even listen to sports anymore. My drive is about 15 minutes in the morning, depending on traffic. I'll put on one guy because sometimes he says good things, but sometimes he gets off. I'm like, what an idiot. It's like, tell me who won the game last night. Tell me who you think the best quarterback is. I don't care what you think about life. But they're always trying to throw that in. And I'm like, I ain't listening to that anymore. I'll flip it to the weather station and find out that the weatherman's still lying to us. By the way, how do weathermen get paid? You know, I've been following, it's supposed to rain Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. No, now it's Tuesday, Wednesday. No, now it's Monday and Tuesday. I don't think he knows. I think he's guessing. But be careful what we allow to get a stronghold. By the way, be careful. Once your children get a stronghold in their life, it's going to be bad. That's probably why they shouldn't have a phone. Next, number four, the way to victory is to destroy any false way of thinking. Now, let me say this. If you're like me, okay, how many of you got saved and started serving God, let's just say, after you were like 16 years old? Raise your hand. Come on. It's after you were 16 years old. Come on. All the rest of you are like raised in the nursery. Okay. How many of you learned a lot of bad thoughts before you got saved? Yeah. The Bible was like, what? Man, one of the first times I came in the church and he's preaching, I'm like, you've got to be, get out of here. I didn't say it out loud. I'm thinking, what in the world is this guy talking about? And it's like, there it is right there in the Bible. I brought some of my old friends one time to church. Man, about four or five of the guys, man, come on to church. I should have brought them on Sunday morning. They came Sunday night. And Brother Black on Sunday night had a tendency to let his hair down a little. And they're sitting back there, and they were not buying into what Brother Black was putting out there. And I just heard him like, you're kidding me? What's that all about? And I'm thinking, that's how I used to think. Because I had a false way of thinking I grew up with. But you know what I had to do? I had to start destroying those false way of thinkings. See, I had strongholds all up and down my mind. And what I had to do is get the word of God and what I felt like, you know what? That's not my way of thinking isn't right. The Bible's right. That stronghold's been kicked out. You see, that's where the battle is won. And some of us, we need to start picking off some strongholds in our life. Okay? If God doesn't agree with you, just a suggestion, you might want to just follow what God says. Let God be true and every man a lie. Oh, but, you know, my psychologist says we won't even go there. Okay? Unless your psychologist loves God, which I doubt. Let's follow what Jesus said. The word of God. Let's start picking those off. Psalm chapter 3 gives us several places. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. By the way, some of you go to public college, you better be very, very careful. I guarantee you, you get up in that class, your teacher doesn't say, hey, let's pray before we get started. He does, and if they ask you, hey, if you're a Christian, let me know, it's not so they can say, praise the Lord. Okay? You know how that is. You've got to, look, if your math teacher is telling you 2 + 2 = 4, amen, you ought to listen to him. But if he's going to start veering off of math and start telling you how to live your life, you need to tune him out. That happens all the time. That's one of the things that is, there's so many things going wrong in our country. I'm not being negative because it's good to serve Jesus and we're in the greatest country in the world, but our country is veered. If the people that were alive 50 years ago today just were transformed and dropped into our society, they would freak out. I'm just telling you, like, what? What happened here? You know what they did? School no longer became a place where they were teaching you how to read, how to write, how to do math. Now they're trying to change your value system. That's why Johnny can't read. That's secondary to being told, you know, be a good member of society. You want to be a good, the best members of society are Christians. We are not the problem. We had a guy that many years ago came to our church and he had several high-ranking jobs. One of his jobs, he said, he was a higher up in Walmart. And he said that, you know, listen, where they were, the stores that he oversaw, when they saw a kid went to a Christian school, that's the kid they wanted to work there. And he gave me some astrological number of how much of the theft in their store was by employees. You know why? They're not taught anything. They're taught garbage their whole life. And so that's how we act. Oh, big business is bad. It's okay to steal from them. Even if big business is bad. By the way, big business pays taxes and creates jobs. You got to think this thing through. That's why our state's going broke, by the way. But even if they are corrupt, God still tells us to be honest. Right? My boss ripped me off. How I'm going to rip him off back. No. The Bible way is you still need to be honest. Now, you might need to find another job if your boss is dishonest. I get that. But how does that change what we do? And we're getting off here and we need to be done. The key is to destroy any false way of thinking. As you read your Bible, as you're in Sunday school, as you're hearing the Bible taught, as you're processing what it says, it's going to come up against things in your mind that you've been taught that's different. And you know what you need to do? You need to let the truth shoot that down so you can win the battle. What can we do? Use the proper weapons. Let me give you two I've already mentioned. First of all is God's truth. Get into the Word. Get to know the Word. Maybe you struggle with your Bible reading this year. Well, we're a couple weeks away. I want to encourage you, get in it. Get in it. Say, I don't understand all of it. The more you get into it, the more of it you read, the more of it you hear, the more of it you'll understand. First time I read through it, it's like, hey, that was good, but I didn't understand a lot of it. Especially in Leviticus, I was drowning in Leviticus. I'm like, man, I was so sick of calf's livers and the fat around their organs. Okay, but you know what? We made it through. And the more we go, the more I understand the symbolism, the more you hear, you learn things. Get in God's word. Read it for yourself. Be faithful to the church services. Thank you for being here on Sunday night. That shows that you've already taken a little bit of that next step to be faithful to the services. And you're to be commended for that. And then be around the right kind of friends. Remember we preached a couple weeks ago on a Sunday night on what, who in the world happened to you? Sometimes a lot of the false thinking we get is from the people we hang around with. Well, you know, let me tell you what I do with my old lady. And how's divorce court working for you? Okay, by the way, that's his fifth old lady. let me tell you how I raised my son before he killed those four people and went to prison. May not be a good idea, okay? We might want to just figure out what God said. Now, sometimes people are well-meaning. Used to kill me in the break room. I'd be sitting there going, my wife and I do this and I do that. And I'm like, bro, that's his fifth wife. I mean, come on, you're going to listen to this guy? I thought it was hilarious. But the Bible's always right. But, man, isn't it nice when you're around people that kind of push you the right direction? By the way, they'll tell you the truth in the situations. By the way, don't ask someone what they think about something if you don't want them to tell you the truth, all right? It's like, what do you think about this? And they're like, well, you know, God says this. And it's like, what? It's like, well, why did you ask? I mean, don't ask me. We'll go for coffee or something. But have the right kind of friends. They're going to push you in the right direction, and they're going to encourage you in the right ways. What is the battle? Why is that important? Because if our church is going to be victorious, if we're going to win this battle we're trying, the battle for souls, the battle to for the next generation, just the battle to go forward and reach as many people as we can, how are we going to win that victory? We can only win that victory as the people in our, as you and I are winning the victory in our life. We got to have a lot of victorious Christians in our church that are banding together saying, listen, God's doing something in my life. Let's band together and let's do something for him. And that's how we experience the victory. The battle is for the mind. Let's all stand together briefly.